Welcome, friends, to Lunchtime Conversations. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. And today we are going to be talking to someone who is not living in Tampa Bay, but actually has a great story and can really help you better understand the world. His name is Matthew Casalotto, and I want to welcome him to studio right now from Ohio. Welcome, Matthew.
Well, thank you, Nanette. I'm excited to be here.
Matthew, before we talk about the article that you published in the July 2026 Enterprise World magazine, I want to have you tell me a little bit about your journey. And folks, he has been in communication as a speechwriter for NATO leaders in Brussels, Belgium, and the Speaker of the House of the U.S. House of Representatives. So let's go back to the early days. Just tell us how you got to where you are now.
Well, it's a long story, so I'll try to shorten it for you. I went to the University of California, Berkeley. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And then right after college, I was a paid intern, summer intern, on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And I want to reemphasize that. There aren't too many paid interns. And I was actually paid for a couple of months. Not a lot of money, but it was a nice distinction to get paid for that. And then I got a job with great member of Congress, Leon Panetta from years ago.
I know Leon from San Diego.
Yeah, well, he's from the Monterey area, but California. And he's a wonderful guy, one of the great public servants. I worked with him for a number of years and then also kind of graduated. I worked for the majority leader and Speaker of the House of Representatives, Jim Wright from Texas, and then went into the private sector. Did a lot of speech writing in the corporate arena, wrote speeches more recently at UCLA for the chancellor. And then you mentioned NATO, wrote speeches for the leaders of NATO in Brussels. So that's a real quick overview. In the meantime, while I was doing some of that, I did some speaking of my own, some coaching, and I wrote writing a couple of books now. So we'll talk, I guess, about some of the books and some of my ideas about speaking and promise power.
Well, I want to get right into that. So the cover story you did highlighted your mission to empower millions of people around the world with your trilogy of personal empowerment books. And, you know, I'm a great fan of Sean Grodin, and I actually went to, and did a little research on you, listened to your podcast. Why is this more important than ever before to empower people?
Well, there are a lot of people in the world. It depends on the topic that you want to talk about. But I started out really interested in helping people become less afraid about public speaking. So I like to talk about helping people make a shift from stage fright to stage delight. And that's one of my books is The Joy of Public Speaking. So I did a lot of coaching about that, about how to get more comfortable in front of audiences. About three quarters of the population of the world, they've done studies on this, surveys, about three quarters say they're nervous about public speaking. Some people suffer from very severe stage fright. Other people are just sort of intimidated by it and they shy away from it. So I wanted to help people get more comfortable and experience the joy of public speaking. We won't go into a lot of detail of that now, but there is some joy in public speaking, and I want to help people tap into that. In other areas, I think in terms of promises and promise power, I want to just say a few words about that, but I've found in recent years that you can turn an important goal into a heartfelt promise, and you're much more likely to follow through. So I like people to tap into or harness their promise power. And why is a promise more powerful than a goal? And that's what a lot of people ask. And I would say a promise comes from the heart. A promise has a lot more emotion behind it. A goal is a little bit more cerebral, a little bit more brain-focused. And so I like to tell people in my workshops and my talks that you can change a goal, but you can only break a promise.
Oh, let's just stop for a minute, because I want you to say that once again, because I've learned something from our president. If you say things three times, people will hear it. Say that right one more time for our audience, because I love that.
You can change a goal, but you can only break a promise. And people are really reluctant. People are loath to break promises. We know from childhood how important promises are. They're special. And we grow up knowing that. And then sometime over the years, we kind of lose touch with that. So I believe if you tap into your innate promise power, something we all can tap into, we all possess it as human beings, you can really change your life. And I say in my subtitle of my book, change your life and transform the world. So I'll say it again. You can change a goal. You can forget a New Year's resolution, as many people do every year, but you can only break a promise. And so that's a real significant difference. And people don't like breaking promises.
And, you know, I think this is the most apropos thing I've heard to sum up politics, the world, friendship, relationships, careers, you know, and it's about integrity. So I love that. I love that. And then you have, what is habit force?
Well, that's the title of the original book that I promised my mother. You probably asked the story, but I'll tell you about it. I made a promise to my mother on her deathbed. She was dying of cancer, and it was a spontaneous decision, but I made a promise to her the last time I spoke to her. We both knew it would be the last time. And I told her, Mom, I want to make you a promise. I'm going to finish writing that book that you've been encouraging me to write, and I want to dedicate it to your memory. Mm. And tears welled up. I always get choked up when I say that. I remember those words, and I remember her words exactly. She said, you do that, Matthew, you do that. This makes me very happy. And for a few years before I made that promise, I had been talking with her and a few other people about this idea I had. She thought I should write a book about it. It was about habit force, as I came to refer to it. It's about the habits of success and the habits of failure. And those two powerful words, sometimes I start at the beginning of the story, and we're sort of in the middle of it right now, but those two powerful words, failure and success, it was a multiple epiphany that when I thought of it, they both have seven letters. And so I thought maybe I could come up with two side-by-side acronyms or acrostics. For every letter in the word failure, there'd be an equal but opposite habit of success. And I got on that idea of seven habits from a book I'm sure you're familiar with, a lot of people are, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, several decades ago, back in the mid-90s.
Still the primer for all of us.
People know that book, and sometimes I'll ask people, can you name the habits? And very few hands go up.
Can you name the habits for our listeners, just to take a little diversion for just a quick minute?
Well, you're asking me to do something that I don't like to do because I've changed those habits.
Okay, let's talk about it. Yep, you've updated it, and you've enhanced and rejuvenated for our time. So you talk about you.
The whole idea about the habits that I write about, the failure and success habits and habit force, is I wanted to find a way to help people more easily remember the habits. Like you said, if you repeat something three times, remember it. But if it spells out these acronyms, like the F in failure stands for finger pointing. I won't go through all of these, but that's finger pointing, making excuses, playing the blame game. Boy, if you're stuck in that habit, it's a habits between the ears. It's a habits of thought. So if you're stuck in that blame game, finger pointing game, you're not going to succeed in life. You're going to always make excuses. Benjamin Franklin has a great quote. He says, "A person who has a habit of making excuses is seldom good at anything else." You're making excuses. So what you have to do is recognize, reject, and replace. So I won't go through it, but if you recognize that you're doing that, that you have a habit of finger pointing, you reject it, and then you replace it with a success habit, which starts with the letter S, shoulder responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for your life. Jack Canfield, who did the foreword to my book, the Harness Your Promise Power book, and thank you, Jack, for doing that. Jack Canfield has a book called The Success Principles, and he talks a lot about taking 100% responsibility for your life. And if you don't do that, you're not going to succeed to the extent you want. So go back to empowerment. My mission is about empowering people. So these are personal empowerment habits of success. And the promises that we're talking about, I think of them as personal empowerment promises. So turn a goal into a promise. You know, writing a book would normally be considered a goal. I have a goal to write a book. But you turn that goal into a promise, and you're much more likely to follow through because you've made a promise to someone you care about. Maybe you make a promise to yourself. I write about the different ways you can make promises. You can make a promise to God or some deity, some supernatural being, or whatever it is you have a belief. And that's going to reinforce your promise. If you make a promise, you have an accountability buddy when you make a promise to someone you care about or to God. And not to go on too much about this, but I'll just say that Jack Canfield, in his foreword, tells, I think it's the first time, I'm not sure he's written about this before, but he tells a story about the promise he made when he was 27 years old. He made a promise to God that he would dedicate his life to helping others learn about wisdom and love. And that gave birth eventually to the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, where he shares all these stories, wisdom and love kinds of stories. And so, Jack,
which have actually, I think, changed many people. So it's interesting to me, not to interrupt, I want to come back to what you're saying. What I like about the fact that Jack, and that's what caught my eye, was that Jack Canfield wrote the introduction. So here he is producing empowerment books, wisdom books for all of us. Here you are creating wisdom and empowerment for the people. And yet now he's doing success principles, and you kind of have gone from the C-suite to real people like our listeners, entrepreneurs, personal people starting businesses.
Right. My goal is to help to empower millions of people, my mission. And these could be people who have some aspiration to make a difference in the world, but they shy away from it, or they maybe have habits of thought, mindsets that hold them back. And I'll share a story about how I got into all of this, Nanette. It's actually, it didn't just pop into my head necessarily, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I was reading books like that for a reason, because when I was working on Capitol Hill, I had what I thought was a great idea. I wanted to launch a comedy TV cable channel. It was comedy TV before Comedy Central. And I had a friend. We kicked around ideas. It was a great idea. And after about 6 months, we talked to a high-powered attorney to try to figure out how we do the corporate papers. It was serious.
Oh, my gosh.
But I dropped the ball. I blew it because I didn't pursue it. I write about this in the original book called Habit Force, which I'm updating, by the way. That's the third book in the trilogy. It'll be coming out later this year. Harness Your Habit Force. People can look for that. But I dropped the ball on comedy TV. And after a few years, I looked back and I thought, well, what happened? And I started to realize, as I was reading a lot of self-help books, mm-hmm. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. Awaken the Giant Within, and Jack Canfield's books, and all these other people. And I realized, as I kind of did some introspection, which is a huge step toward achievement. You have to become self-aware. And I realized, as I looked into this, that I had talked myself out of this comedy TV idea. I said, well, who do you think you are? This is my internal dialogue. And that dialogue is what's going to make or break you.
That inner critic, right, is your worst friend.
You're going to have that little voice that says, who do you think you are? Why do you think you can do this? How are you going to raise the money? You're going to embarrass yourself trying to do this. I dropped the ball. And I realized, wait a minute, I could have pursued that. And then I thought, I wonder what it is that makes some people succeed and other people fall short. So I started to read up on these topics, and the 7 habits of highly effective people got my attention. And then I had that multiple epiphany. Wait a minute, the word failure has 7 letters. The word success, these 2 powerful words in our language, have 7 letters. So maybe I can do something with that. And I was, again, kind of dragging my feet, and my mother was saying, you got to write the book. And she would tell me, she would remind me, mothers are great that way. She said, you should do this, Matthew. This is something you should do. And she kept kind of nagging me about it, to be honest. And when she was sick and I knew I was going to speak with her for the last time, I made her a promise. And I did this. I've looked back. I've kind of done a little psychoanalysis on myself. I'm not qualified to do that, but I the way I see it is I made that promise because I did not want a repeat of comedy TV.
That's something that is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, I want to ask you this because, you know, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a speech coach and a speech writer. Have you ever resuscitated the whole notion of, you know, they say that when you make things funny, people learn and remember more. I would assume that in your public speaking, you do harness comedy, this great idea in what you're doing now. Is that true?
I like to use humor. You know, some people may have a different opinion how funny I am, but I
hear
like
you're very funny,
humor.
By the way.
What's that?
I do hear you're very funny.
Well, thank you. I like to keep things light. Like these habits of success and failure, recognize, reject, and replace, the 3 R's. You know, I like to talk about that. I like to keep it accessible to people. Those failure traps that people get into. I like to, I talk about Yoda. You know, I quote Yoda, for instance.
Hey, listen, I'm a big fan of Yoda. So I want to say that you do a lot of uplifting stories in your talks. From people like Oprah Winfrey, Jack Canfield, LeBron
right.
James, Doris Kearns Goodwin, Sir Paul McCartney. Can you share a Sir Paul McCartney, uplifting story that would help people understand how to harness your promise power?
Well, the one that really comes to mind, I mean, I actually write in the book about a promise that he made, and it was in an interview. He was going to go do a concert, like the third time he'd been to, I think, Australia. And the woman in Australia, doing a radio interview, I think, like this, asked, well, why are you coming back to Australia? You've been here several times. And his answer, it sort of speaks to the whole message of my book. The answer was pretty simple. He said, well, because I made a promise. I promised I would come back to Australia and do these concerts. So, you know, he could have just said, yeah, that's a lot of miles. That's a lot of trouble. So that's one promise. He also sings about a promise in his new album, and it caught my attention, and I don't have it in front of me, but the lyrics refer to between him and John Lennon when they met. And they spoke a secret code, he says, the lyrics, that would never be spoken. And he means the words he said, something like that, and the promise will never be broken. We don't know what the promise was exactly, but it's in this song.
Wow.
About the days we left behind. All right, so I think that's what it's called.
It is.
And it's a wonderful song, a very poignant, and you're looking back at his youth and when he met John Lennon and their secret code about writing, he's explained about writing songs, and they would never talk about that, and the promise would never be broken. And that's the power of making a promise. In fact, I'll have to say this, if you don't, hope you don't mind. My book, Habit Force, and I kept that promise to my mother. And there is a book out there. It's kind of a thin volume, but it's a book called Habit Force, and I'm updating it. But the dedication reads in part, after I say to my mother, I did it, Mom, finally, I say, I can honestly say that this book would not have been written had I not made the promise to you back home in California. This demonstrates the power of making a promise, especially to your mother. When I wrote the dedication, I knew, when I made the promise, I knew there was something special, that failure was not an option. I wrote the dedication, I knew that, but then I read it a few years later, and I'm telling you, Nanette, I was gobsmacked. I said, whoa, the power of making a promise. That might be something.
I think yeah. I want a t-shirt with that. Folks, if you've just joined us on Radio St. Pete, I'm talking to an incredible gentleman, Matthew Casalotto, the Empowerment Pro. He has three books. He's revising his last. He's got the newest revision, our author of Harness Your Promise Power, has a foreword by Jack Canfield, who has inspired so many of you in the public sector. I want to just go before we run out of time and talk a little bit about some of the people that you've helped at your stories of people who came to your Harness Your Promise Power or other talks, and, you know, specifically a story of how this messaging and conversation helped empower and change that person's life.
Wow. Well, yes. There are a couple of ways I could talk about that. And I do these workshops and I give little talks here and there. One thing, when I started to develop this idea of promise power, and we've talked a little bit about it, and I just said a few of the words that we've been talking now, and there's a kind of a small audience. You know, I don't always speak to huge audiences, but a small group of people, and I used some of the same words. I said, I recommend that you turn a goal into a promise, and you're much more likely to follow through. And a woman came up to me afterwards, and she just was like, wow. And it just hit her. She said, turn a goal into a promise. That is so powerful. So she you know, went on to do things. I don't know. I haven't kept up with her necessarily. But the other example from a Habit Force workshop, I talk about the habits of failure, that you can get trapped into these habits of thought that hold you back, and I don't just give you the problem, I give you a solution. I say, here are the success habits you need to adopt, and you can recognize, reject, and replace. And so I went through that whole process, the seven letters and all that, and this gentleman, I didn't know him. It was a fairly large audience. He came up afterwards and he said, I've been dragging my feet about helping to kind of organize my father's paintings. He was a graphic artist, pretty successful in New York City. And it was like 10, 20 years after his father had died. And he was just dragging his feet, not doing it. He was doing the failure habit that I talk about. Is basically, you know, idle talk, no action is the I in failure. Idle talk, no action. And so he said, you just opened my eyes to what I'm stuck in. I'm just talking about it. I keep saying I'm going to do it, just like I did with Comedy TV. I was talking about it, sharing this idea. Oh, it's a great idea. You get enamored of your idea, but you don't do it, you know. So that idle talk is a failure trap. So you have to seize the day.
I love that. So, folks, if you needed a pep talk, let me tell you, Personal Empowerment Progress with Matthew Casalotto, the Empowerment Pro, is so incredible. You can check out his website, MatthewCasalotto.com. We'll have that in the article, and TheEmpowermentPro.com. Matthew, it's just been wonderful to talk to you. I want to say that Dolly Parton and you really should get together and talk, because she says if you want to launch your dreams, you got to give it wings. You just can't sit there. I swear to God, the two of right. you have come up with such amazing ideas. And I will tell you that our lunchtime conversations at Radio St. Pete, well, I must have been reading your book because we launched this based on the fact that it was a dream and we weren't going to sit about waiting to do podcasts and tell stories. So we want to invite you to come back with a podcast called Pep Talks on Radio St. Pete. We'd be happy to record it with you monthly.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. I love it. And I love the idea of getting together with Dolly Parton. So if you can make that happen.
You know what? If I get the interview, how about I call you, fly out there with me?
I will do it.
Listen, I want to thank you so much. I want you to just tell us some empowering words for our listeners before we sign up off with you. We want to thank you so much, Matthew, for being on air at Radio St. Pete today.
One thing I recommend, of course, turn a goal into a promise, but I wear a rubber band on my wrist as a constant reminder of a promise I've made or a goal I set. And a rubber band, I want to become known as the man with the band. You know, the rubber band is so powerful. It's an empowerment band. It's just a simple, humble rubber band, but it can do so many things for you. If you have negative thoughts about your goal or, you know, your promise, you're not moving quickly enough, or maybe you say, hey, who am I to create comedy TV? Give yourself a big snap with the rubber band, and I call that you snap out of it. Snap out of these negative thoughts, and that'll help you harness your habit force.
Well, thank you, Matthew. We are out of time, unfortunately, right. But I want to thank you. I'll be in touch with you for Radio St. Pete. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. We've been talking with Matthew Casalotto, and I just say, snap out of those negative thoughts. After talking to Matthew, I know how to harness my promise power. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Annette. I really loved it. Thank you.